Okay, so the Gemara has a machlokes about kas pilpili. Rav Shesha says you make a shahakol, and Rava says lo klum, you don't make any bracha, and we paskin like Rava, that if you're kas pilpili or zangvila, then if it's yaveshta, we'll talk maybe a little later about retivta, but if it's yaveshta, there's no bracha at all. Retivta, so the Pashta says you should make ka'etz, but the Rambam, as well as other Rishonim, like the Rashba, say you make kadama, and that relates to a question which I don't know if we'll do today or another time, but do we look at hadama as a downgraded ha'etz? Now, there's even if technically speaking, something is a pre-ha'etz, if it's not normal, it would go down one bracha. That's the way some Rishonim learn, like the Rambam, like the Rimi Lunil. There are other explanations also. But first, let's talk about kas pilpili yaveshta. So again, the Gemara concludes that there's no bracha at all. So the question is, why? Why shouldn't there be a bracha? I understand it's not going to be ha'etz, but at least a shahakol. So Rashi here actually doesn't really explain. Rashi and Yoma, Pei Aleph on the base, when talking more about Yom Kippur, writes that the reason why if you are kas pilpili in Yom Kippur, you're potter, is because ein ze yishuv hadas, she ein ze derech achilaso. So it's not derech achila. And the Rosh over here, both in the Tosas of Rosh and in the Piskei Rosh, has a very similar answer. He writes, v'taima, why don't you make a bracha at all? L'fi she'ein regilin l'ochlam chayin, ki em l'arvan. It's not normal to eat them this way. That's not the way anybody normally eats pepper. How do you eat pepper? By mixing it into other stuff. But kas pilpili is a very strange way to eat. Not the normal way of eating. It's not the derech achila. It's ena regilas la'ochlan chayin. And therefore, there's no bracha. Now, obviously, one issue you have to figure out with that is... there are other cases where we do things in the abnormal way where at least they get a shahakol, right? Like akra chaya or kimcha de sa'ari we saw. So there, at least you make a shahakol, even though it's not the derech achila. It could be here it's worse, either because it's more lav derech achila or because, you know, the rush adds because it's derech la'arvim and shar dvarim. Maybe we'll return to that question. But that seems to be the emphasis of Rashi and maybe Rashi that it's shaloka derech achila. Where, however, if you look at the Ritva, he gives a more fundamental reason. He says the reason is because it's not food. That pilpulin is not food. Rabbeinu Yonah, Chaf Hamid Beis also says a similar type of thing. It's not a maichel. It's not a food. And the Rambam, Perek Ches Halacha Zayin, also seems to be saying that. The Rambam writes, HaPilpulin VaZangvil Bizman Shehein Retuvim Mevarach Alein Varv Yadama. Okay, we talked about that, why that might be. We'll get back to it. Aval Yaveshin Ein Teunin Vracha Lo Lefneim V'lo Lacharehen Mipnei Shehein Tavlin Ve'enon Ocha. So again, very similar to those other Rishonim. He says it's not food. What is it? It's tavlin. It's not ochal. So you make brachos on ochal. This isn't ochal, so there's no bracha rishona. For the Rambam, now, so it seems, we'll say that this is a machlokas Rambam and Rush. Rambam says because not ochal. Rush says it's because she'en regilin la'ochlan chayin. And perhaps I thought that okay, well, salt may or may not be tavlin, but you're correct, Aaron, that salt, you do make a bracha. We'll actually define what salt is in a little bit, but it's a good question. It's a good question. We should come back to salt. So I thought maybe that the machlokas Rush and Rambam is l'shitasa. We already saw in machlokas Rush and Rambam about vinegar. What was the machlokas about vinegar? Remember, the Rambam said that you do make a bracha on vinegar. You make a shahakal, but you make a bracha on vinegar, plain vinegar. And the Rush says, no, you don't make a bracha on plain vinegar. And when the Gemara says you make a bracha on vinegar, it means diluted vinegar or vinegar mixed with a soup or something like that. But a plain vinegar would not get a bracha. So we could say that the Rambam is l'shitaso, because vinegar is an ochal. It's not a tavlin, it's an ochal. It's true. You don't usually down it straight, but it is an ochal. So when you eat an ochal in an abnormal fashion, then you make a shakal. Whereas according to the Rush, that even pilpulin is an ochal, it's just lav derech achila, so then there's no difference. It's equally true for vinegar. Vinegar is lav derech achila. Usually you mix it in with other things to make them taste better. So why should there be a difference? And that's why the Rush says that it can't be straight vinegar. It must be mixed. It must be diluted vinegar. Now, maybe going back to the question that Aaron asked from salt. So I don't think it's necessarily a kasha to Rambam, as I'll explain in a minute, because it's not tavlin. But maybe it's a kash on the Rush. So I think the Rush would say, I guess, that no, it is derech achila to eat salt. In other words, sometimes people are, you go ahead and after you finish your potato chips, then you eat the salt. Tastes good. It's not like pepper, for example. And therefore salt is different. Now, what about cinnamon? Tosfos brought up cinnamon. Tosfos said that that if aval eitz shekoren kinnamon, shekoren kanila, mevarchen alav bori pri adama, mepnei sheregilin laochlo biyovesh. So yeah, you make a bori pri adama. Even though it's eaten biyovesh, even it's dried cinnamon. Now maybe that's because you're eating it actually. Tosfos regilim ochlo. What about if let's say I suck on cinnamon? I take a cinnamon stick and I suck on it, and then I don't swallow the cinnamon. I spit out the cinnamon stick, but it gives me a nice cinnamony taste in my mouth and in my throat. Right? Before they had cinnamon flavored chewing gum or breath mints or whatever it is. So person might suck on cinnamon to have a good breath, fresh breath. Right? My father told me that's what they did in India. My father lived in India for 2 years on the Peace Corps. Anyway, so.
Sue best the Kohanim would have peppers, because they are balmum when they had stinky breaths. So in order to avoid that, the Gemara says that they had peppers.
Okay, right. So what about cinnamon? So the Tur and Simon Tuf Samech Aleph writes that, let me clarify one point. I should have said this first. When the Rambam says that tavlin are different, so why is chometz not a tavlin? Right? I said the Rambam is l'shitaso because chometz gets a bracha because it's not tavlin. But I also told you I think salt isn't a tavlin. So what makes something tavlin? So I thought maybe the pshat in tavlin is actually that you don't consume the mamashos; it just gives flavor. And then you throw out the mamashas, right? If you remember, actually, this came up last year in Hilchos Shabbos when we did Bishul, right? So we talked about Rosh Shlomo Zalman's ruling. Remember, the Tosfos said one of the places, even though I'm machmir for Kaliyah Bishul, maybe everything is Kaliyah Bishul after we machmir and Klisheni, but if the Gemara said that it's okay, it's okay. So one of those examples was Tavlin, right? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman said, that's Tavlin, that's like, the way they used to use tavlin, which is you put a cinnamon stick into your food, and that was very hard to cook. So tavlin, basically, the way tavlin works, and it's the same thing is true with peppercorns. If you cook with peppercorns, what do? You put the peppercorns into your food, You put the cinnamon sticks into your food. You put the cloves into your food and you cook them and they release their flavor. They flavor the food. You don't actually eat the tavlin, right? You throw out the tavlin. And that's what the Rambam means. It's tavlin and not ochel. It's not just that peppercorns are gross to eat. They're like, don't taste good. No, then it would be like vinegar. Vinegar is different. Vinegar is something that you, is an ingredient. Okay, it's a very strong ingredient. So you're not going to eat it plain, right? You're not going to take a slug of vinegar typically. But at the very least, and that's why it might be Pater on Yom Kippur, but it is an ingredient. So you wouldn't say it's a non-ochel. Tavlin are a non-ochel. Now, even though the way we use our tavlin for the most part isn't that way, most people don't use cinnamon sticks anymore. They use crushed cinnamon and they don't take it out. Most people don't use peppercorns anymore. They crush their pepper. They don't take it out. But it could even be that it's still working in the same way. You just don't bother removing it. In other words, the purpose of the cinnamon in the recipe is not to eat the cinnamon or the pepper in the recipe. Is not to eat the pepper, it's to flavor the food, right? It's just a more convenient way of doing it is instead of doing it the way they used to do in the olden days, which is to take out the peppercorns or to take out the cinnamon sticks, we just like leave it in, crushed up so you don't, they get dissolved and you don't really notice them. But that's what tavlin, that's why I said before that I think maybe salt wouldn't be a tavlin. Salt is more like the vinegar. It is. I mean, they're both there for flavor. It's true, but they work differently. Tavlin, the salt actually is eaten. It melts. It joins. It's one of the ingredients along with sugar, right, or vinegar or the like. Tavlin. The way tavlin works is the tavlin aren't food. Tavlin are things that give flavor. They release their tom, and the tom is what gives the flavor. And you may remove them and throw them out, or in a case where they're crushed, you might just leave them in. But they're still that's I think maybe what the definition of tavlin is, and what the Rambam means when he says that they're tavlin and not ochel. Oh, so now let's talk about the question I brought up before, which is, well, what about if you're sucking on cinnamon sticks? Right? Because you're not eating the cinnamon sticks. You're just sucking on it. So would you require a bracha? Now, obviously, some of the cinnamon flavor is coming out of the cinnamon sticks and into your mouth, right? Even though you do take out the cinnamon sticks and throw them out afterwards, after you sucked on them, But they are flavoring. I don't know. You could call it flavoring your saliva if you want, flavoring your. I don't know how to define it exactly. But the flavor is being released right into your body. So the question is, does that warrant a bracha? So the Avi Ha'ezri, the Rav Yah, is quoted by the Torah and Siman. The Avi Ha'ezri is tough. Tough Samach Aleph, and it's quoted, it's quoted by the Tur, in Tough Kuf, Samach Zion, Tough Kuf Samach Zion. So we're talking there actually about a Tinus, so we have to obviously pay attention. Our Gemara puts the two things together, and we have to be careful about when we, to the degree to which they're identical or not, which we'll return to in just a minute. But anyway, so the Avi Ha'ezri says, Sheyachol lilos atze kinnamin ve'etz hamatok anatainis. So if you want to suck on, you can't suck on a lollipop, but if you want to suck on a cinnamon stick on a tinus, that's okay. Even a Yom Kippur. Why? Lelach lech grono, the lifloat. So how did the Rav Yah know this? So the Rav Yah proves it from the fact that our Gemara says Kas Pilpili is Pater on Yom Kippur. And he understood that Pater meant Pater Umutter. And he says, even if you're going to say it's Aser on Yom Kippur, Pater means Aser, on other Taniyos it would be Mutter that aren't Araisa. So the Beis Yosef, when he explains this, Rav Yah says, basically, the Rav Yah is making two Hanachos, which you could question both of them. Number one is that when it says, you know, Kas Zangvila B'Yoma Kippurim Pater, it means Pater Mutter. And number two is that we're not machalik between pilpilin and cinnamon. So the Beis Yosef doesn't like either of those. He's masig on the, it's actually in the Bet HaKabayis over there, on the Rav Yah. And he says, no, I don't think it's right. First of all, I don't necessarily agree to the diuk of pater of al mutter. And moreover, in terms of the other point, he writes, of ein dvarav nirin li, deha, dekas pilpili b'yom ha-kippurim pater, hainu taima mishem de'ein b'han hana, klal adirab azuke mazik leish, asarf grono, right? Pilpilin, burn your throat. But cinnamon, that's very pleasant. I don't know, when you take some of that cinnamon chewing gum, it also, like, I always thought that was gross also, but I guess some people like it, right? So says the Beis Yosef, I don't know what the Rav Yah is talking about. Now, it's not clear. L'chora, according to the Rav Yah, you wouldn't make a bracha either. He's deriving it from our Gemara, and it sounds to me that he'd be equating it. The Beis Yosef definitely says it's aser on the tainis. You can't have it on Yom Kippur. What would he say about a bracha? I'm not sure. Maybe he would say don't make a bracha because you're polite. But I think that even the Beis Yosef might say there's a bracha. And the point is that what's going on here, when it says polite, it means you're, I think, it probably means not that you're spitting out all your spit, because the whole purpose here is lachlech grono. So if you spit it out, you haven't accomplished it. I think the point is you're polite the cinnamon stick. In other words, you swallow the taste of the cinnamon, but you spit out the cinnamon stick, and that's why it moistens your throat. And that's the machlokas. And according to Rav Yah, mutter on a tainis and no bracha. And the chora, though it's not explicit, according to the Beis Yosef, you would make a bracha, because you're, like he says, you're nana from the cinnamon. So it could be that this is basically the same machlokas that we saw in the Rambam versus the Rush. According to Avi Ezri, the hatter is because it's taflin, not ochel. And therefore, now again, I don't know that the Rambam would agree to the Avi Ezri, I can't say. But the Avi Ezri's point is, if the hatter over here is that this is taflin and not ochel, so then the same thing should be said about a cinnamon stick. Cinnamon stick is also taflin and not ochel. Okay, it happens that cinnamon sticks aren't sorif grono, like pilpilin are, But lemaisa, they're tavlin and not ochel. And like we said, because tavlin are things that give taste, give flavor. And so even if it gives taste to your spit, that's okay. That's not achila. Giving taste to your spit, you're allowed to swallow your spit. Even the Beis Yosef says you're allowed to swallow your spit. Briskers on Yom Kippur, you know, spit out their spit. If you ever daven next to a brisker, you'll see they have these spittoons on Yom Kippur, and they're always like, they don't want people to notice, but they like cover their talus with their mouth and they take out their spittoon. But most people follow what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, which is that you're allowed to swallow your spit on Yom Kippur. But what the Rav Yah is saying is that this is flavored spit, but it's not ochel, and the Beis Yosef is saying no. That this has nothing to do with a heter of kas pilpili, where it's shorif grono, and maybe because he sees it more like the Rush, that it's a question of derech achila or not. And this is the derech, this is normal, so why wouldn't you make a bracha? And certainly it would be aser on Yom Kippur. Now, And if you look, I think this is supported. The Magen Avraham supports the Beis Yosef. He thinks against the Ramah that you, it's not even asur mutter if you spit it out, because the halacha is on the tainus, you're not allowed to put food in your mouth and spit it out. So you can't do this and spit it out either. And that's the Magen Avraham asks. And if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, the way the Aruch HaShulchan defends the Raviah and the Ramah, the Ramah is not making Yom Kippur, but the way he defends the Shita, the Aruch HaShulchan, is he says, She'enu ela kareach be'alma, right? Which is, I think, sort of the way I'm saying it. Just like, you know, smelling something isn't a violation of Yom Kippur. So flavor is like smell, right? I think they say so much of food, you know, the taste in food really even comes from the smell. So here, you know, swallowing the cinnamon flavored saliva is like smelling cinnamon, which is mutter on Yom Kippur. And that's sort of the perspective of the Raviah, that this is Tavlin and not Ochel. Now, just to clarify, everybody would agree that, let's say, you know, people say, okay, so maybe this should be like chewing gum, right? According to the Raviah, there should be no bracha. And according to the Beis Yosef, there should be a bracha. But that's probably not true. And for the following reason. Let's take an example of sugar. We spoke a little bit about sugar last time, right? We saw that there was three opinions in the Rishonim, the sugar, shahakol, or hadama, or ha'etz. But everybody agrees that if you suck on sugar cane, you make a bracha. But that's totally different. Even though you spit out the sugar cane, that's not like sucking on a cinnamon stick. Because the sugar cane has juice in it. It has sugar juice in it. That's like sucking on an apple or something, right? That's for sure usher. There's juice in the sugar cane, and you suck it out. That for sure gets a bracha. That's for sure usher on Yom Kippur or on any tainus. The question over here by the cinnamon stick is, it's not like a cinnamon stick that's dried out has like cinnamon juice inside of it. The point is that it might flavor your saliva. It might give some flavor in your mouth. It might thereby be moist in your throat. So I thought a better analogy to this, a modern analogy, would be Listerine pocket packs. So these are very, very similar. In other words, over there, the point is that your goal is to sort of freshen up your breath. Now, it's true, you put it in your mouth. In this case, you're not polate it. It sort of dissolves in your mouth. But the idea is the same thing. In other words, this is not food. It's like congealed mouthwash, right? It's not food in any sense, but you do put it in your mouth, and it does moisten your throat, and it does flavor your breath. It gives you flavoring. It's very, very similar to sucking on the cinnamon sticks or sucking on pepper, except, you know, pepper might be sorry if you're got, you know, sorry if you're garon. Maybe this stuff also is, right? So what's the halacha on Listerine packs for bracha? So I looked, of course, on Halachapedia. Where else would one look for what the contemporary poskim say? So according to Halachapedia, Rav Belsky, Rav Forsheimer, Rav Daniel Neustadt all say you make a shahakel on a Listerine pack. And Rav Schechter, Rav Bodner, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, Rav Wickler, Rav Felder, Rav Forst, and Rav Reisman say no bracha said. And according to a different Rav Forst, the first one was Rav Furst. I think Rav Forst from the Five Towns, then he says that a bracha is said if you're taking it for flavor, but not if it's only for fresh breath. So I don't know, this is all taken from halachically speaking. So at least I didn't have halachically speaking. So it didn't say any svaros in the Halachapedia. So I don't know what anybody's svaros are. But perhaps it's the same type of machlokas. Meaning to say, l'chora, according to the Raviah, you shouldn't make a bracha. Because, again, there's no ochel here, it's just tam. You're basically swallowing tam. So it's like tavlin, Could be, though, according to the Beis Yosef, you should make a bracha, because this is not like pilpulin, because it's not mazik. It's not soif grono. And you know, you put it in your mouth and you don't spit it out. So could be that according to the Beis Yosef, then you should make a bracha, maybe the Magen Avraham as well. I would have guessed that certainly since the Ramah is more towards the side of the Beis Yosef, of the Rav Yah, even if he doesn't go 100%, certainly an Ashkenazi wouldn't make a bracha, like Rav Schechter says. You could argue that maybe you should be more machmir on a tainus, especially on Yom Kippur, because we're machmir, but by tainus we're more machmir, especially tainus of Yom Kippur. And here you're not even polite at all. Could be that you should be machmir on Yom Kippur, but in terms of a bracha, I would think that an Ashkenazi shouldn't make a bracha. For Sfardi, maybe it's a little less clear, because the Beis Yosef isn't so much into that Svara. Now, again, just to clarify, why do I think that a Listerine pack is different than gum? Because in gum is really just a taroves of plastic or rubber and sugar. And what happens is that you swallow the sugar and you eventually spit out the rubber. So they're ingredients, right? Sugar, and the sugar swallowed, right? When you spit out your gum after it lost all of its flavoring, it's half the size of when you started with it because you already swallowed all the sugar. And like we said before, sugar is not a tavlin. So I would have thought this is nothing to do with our discussion. If anything, this would be more similar to, like we said before, that everybody agrees if you suck on sugar cane, you make a bracha. Machlokas, which bracha? But everybody agrees you make a bracha. Why? Because over there, what happens is you suck out the juice from the sugar cane and you spit out the cane, right? The cane itself is like wood, but it has sugar flavor in it. It has there's like a liquid or juice. Here, it's not a liquid, it's a solid sugar, but it's the same thing. You're chewing the gum, you swallow the sugar in the gum, and therefore bracha should be made. And this is the view of Rov Poskim. There's a tshuva, if you want, from a Vavadia. He has two tshuvos on it, and Yabi Omer. Chelek Zayin Lamed Gimel, and Chelek Tes Kuf Ches, Rav Moshe, or Chaim Chelek Beis, Nun Zayin, or Letzion. Most poskim say that you make a bracha on gum. Now, I saw there is a sefer. I think, Aaron, did you end up buying the Birkas Hashem? I mean, not Aaron, Adam. You did buy it.
I did buy it.
Oh, so the Birk, he has an essay in which it's Rav Moshe Halevi, and he says you don't make a bracha on chewing gum. And he says, very similar to the type of svara that we were saying for the Rav Yah, but one step further. In other words, he compares it to the same discussion about cinnamon or pepper. He says the pshat is that the gum's taste is first absorbed into the saliva before it's swallowed. And just like you don't make a bracha on saliva, you don't make a bracha on flavored saliva. And he brings a raya from the Raman, Taf Kuf Samach Zayin, that's matir to chew on the cinnamon sticks on a fast day. So he says, what's a cinnamon stick? Cinnamon stick creates flavored saliva, and so does gum. And there are other poskim who rule like this.
Why is salt not flavored saliva?
Why is what?
Why is salt not flavored?
You're saying that if it melts first. Melt
in, yeah.
Maybe because it doesn't have to melt. You could swallow it whole. But I tend to agree with you.
What's Raya? Did Rami say is Raya?
The Raya he's saying is it's the same thing as cinnamon sticks. Cinnamon sticks is flavored saliva. And you see it doesn't get a bracha. And here the sugar is batel in the saliva before you swallow it. In other words, I assume the logic is that the flavor is released so slowly into the saliva that it's batel. I think Aaron's making a good point, which is, you know, the Gemara sounds like you always make a bracha on salt. And according to his understanding, sort of if you put a little salt, like one kernel of salt into your mouth and you sort of let it melt and then you swallow that, maybe that shouldn't require bracha. Maybe you would say inachinami, I'm not sure. But as I said, I thought that this is not a dimyon. I thought what made a little more sense, which as I said, I think is the opinion of Rav Poskim, is that this is not like tavlin. That's tavlin. But gum is not tavlin. Gum is a taroves of sugar, which is ochel plus rubber. And ochel, you always make a bracha on. And even if it's batel in your saliva beforehand, right? Like we said before, if you have a mashu of food and it's batel in your saliva, like Aaron said, with salt, then a bracha is made. So I thought that it's not at all similar to chewing gum is not similar to cinnamon. Cinnamon is tavlin velo ochel. And chewing gum is a taroves of ochel plus non-ochel. And you spit out the non-ochel and you eat the ochel. So I thought the makes sense to make a bracha like most poskim. So one last ta'ara though on this topic of chewing gum. So Menachem sent me a article from the OU.org by Rabbi Ari N. Enkin, who talks about bracha on chewing gum. And he wants to be mechalek between sugarless gum and sugar full gum. This is his lashon. Sugar-free gum contains no ingredients that are ingested. For example, the package for the Elite Must Gum, Israel's most popular sugar-free gum, states that a piece of gum contains 2 calories, and they come from the aspartame/food coloring content. Considering the fact that aspartame and coloring agents can hardly be considered foods, so therefore, aspartame it should be exempt from a bracha. So I don't think that he is at all correct. I think that aspartame is sugar. I don't know. It might be true that it is not ingested in part of the body, right? In other words, it's sugar that for some reason doesn't become ingested. It goes in and it goes out. It's like those Pringles that they used to make, right? It's a trick to the body that it doesn't add. It tastes sweet, but it's still food. Because the way I'm saying it is, right? When you eat aspartame, okay, nobody really normally eats it plain, but you don't eat sugar plain, but it's the same thing as sugar, right? You put it in your coffee and it makes your coffee sweet. You could do it anything. You put it in your muffins. It's like any other ingredient. It might be true that there's no absorption into the body. But who said that, I mean, if you think that you, it is true, you know, we clared about whether Hanaz B'nei Me'ayim is B'chai V'bracha, maybe it's not, but it's only not M'chai V'bracha when there's no Chila. Here you swallow it. And so even if Hanaz HaChech on its own isn't M'chai V'bracha, which we saw as a discussion, but when something tastes good in your mouth and you swallow it, then why shouldn't it make a bracha? I mean, would you not make a bracha on a Diet Coke? So there you could say, well, at least there's water. So let's say you drink a Diet Coke, l'shitaso, and you're not thirsty, right? A lot of people drink Diet Coke because they're not thirsty. They drink Diet Coke because they like Diet Coke because it's sweet, right? So would you say it's like water? Avada not. You would make a bracha. So I don't agree with him. I think that if it's non-ochel, then I could hear not making a bracha, like the case of the Listerine packs, or the sucking on the cinnamon sticks. But I don't think it has anything to do with being ingested. Fine. He did, though, say, and I can't dismiss it, he said he made this case to Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, who didn't fully buy what he said, but he said he heard what he was, his svara, so he said you should only have sugar-free gum when you're eating a shahakal on something else. Okay. Might take away all the geschmack of eating your sugar-free gum. Fine. So let's go back for a moment and just talk a little bit about the connection between pepper, or between, let's say, bracha and Yom Kippur, right? So our Gemara does seem to equate them. And Aaron was asking about this, I think on Friday or sometime, he asked me, right? So the Gemara says, right, Lamed Vav on the base, pretty straightforward, seemingly, it's the same Shiloh, right? Pilpili, Rav Sheshes Amar Shakal, Rav Amar Lo Klum, V'az the Rav Latayme, Dabar Rava, Kaz Pilpili B'yamad Kibori Pater. So Rava says you're Pater from Brachos, and that's Lashitaso, because he says you're Pater on Yom Kippur. Pretty straightforward, and we say, fine. So L'chora, as we saw, there's a somewhat of a machlokas about the Gedder of the Ptur, but for the Rambam, things get very complicated. Why? Because on the one hand, the Rambam does equate Yom Kippur and Pilpilin when it comes to brachos, but not so when it comes to tainis. When it comes to tainis, so now things get, I mean, when it comes to vinegar, things get a little complicated, right? How so? So for the Rush, it's not a kasha, because the Rush Taka says that chometz is no bracha, your pater on Yom Kippur, and there's no bracha when it's pure. And the only time you would make a bracha on it is when it's diluted. So we equate them. But the Rambam does not make any such limitations. In other words, it sounds like he says you make a bracha always on chometz, and it sounds like you're pater on Yom Kippur. So maybe what you have to say is that the Gemara says that it's a one-way direction. In other words, if lo mevarchim, you're going to be pater on Yom Kippur. But conceivably, you could be pater on Yom Kippur even though you make a bracha. And maybe you see this a little bit in Rabbeinu Yonah, Chaf Ches Amud Beis. This is in Rabbeinu Yonah's discussion about chometz, right? So he asks, again, Vim Tomar, Ve'ach Mevarchal Chometz, V'halav Achilahu, and he quotes a Gemara in Yoma, that Shas Chometz V'Yom Kippurim is Pater. V'yesh L'tareitz, D'gabe Chometz, Af Al Pishu Pater, Kashir Revius, Kevan Dekai Malan, She'im Shasa Mimeno Harbe Chayav, Mipnei Shenene Mimena Mishtia, Miruba, Linyan Bracha, Nami Lo Yatsa Mitoras Ochal, Ulefikach Mevarchalav. So the Gemara in Yoma has a stira over there about vinegar, and the Gemara has a couple of chilukim, and one of the chilukim is, I'm not sure what this means exactly, but when you drink a little bit of of vinegar, then it's terrible. But yeah, it's like schnapps, you know. I mean, some people pretend to enjoy the schnapps, but as far as I could tell, they just drink it because they want to be cool. But after you drink enough schnapps, so then it starts to taste good. So it's the same thing with vinegar, apparently. I'm not saying that that schnapps and Yom Kippur is mutter. So he writes, Mi unirad bervias, o pach mervias mevarchal ab betchila. Says, but even if you drink maybe less than a revias, you still won't make a bracha. you still would make a bracha, even though on that small amount you would actually be potter on Yom Kippur. So you wouldn't make a bracha achrona. Then you make a bracha achrona. So what's the idea? That he says like there's a technicality. Since if you were to drink a lot of it, you would be chayv in bracha. So then, even if you drink a little bit, you would make a bracha. So he disagrees with the Rosh in the sense that he holds that you do make a bracha on straight vinegar, even though you're potter on Yom Kippur. In that sense, Rabbeinu Yonah is like the Rambam, not like the Rosh. But at the same time, I think that it's closer to the Rosh fundamentally, in the sense that he is holding that really it should be that bracha and Yom Kippur are the same. It's just that it happens to be that that you make a bracha on even a small amount. And if you look at his lashon, he writes that he says it's not like other shtios vinegar, where if you drink a revius, you're chayv in a bracha achrona. And therefore, mishum, you have to make a bracha. Rishona mipnei shalihana min olam below bracha. Now, does that mean you get hana here? Or no, it means because if you were to drink more, you would be getting hana. And so it sounds like it just means because if you drink more, you would be getting hana. That's what he says. In other words, hana by shtiyah meruba. Why do you make a bracha rishona? Maybe it's a similar type of svara if you remember that we had by the Kesef Mishnah, right? Remember the Kesef Mishnah said that why is it that you make a bracha rishona in a kol shehu and not a bracha achrona, right? So the Kesef Mishnah didn't learn like Tosos. Tosos gave a fundamental answer to that question. He said that it's because the mechayev for bracha rishona is asul hanas melam mazat. You get a little bit of hana, you make a bracha. The mechayev for bracha achrona is svia or kain svia, so it's only a shir. But the Beis Yosef didn't like that. The Beis Yosef said no. Really, the mechayev is the same. The reason why you make a bracha rishona on a kol shehu is because you might drink more or eat more. So the Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be saying a similar type of svara, which is that they're mechayev a bracha rishona since you're nana b'shtiyah meruba. So if that's true, so then it's very good, right? Now we understand. Really, fundamentally, we could say that Yom Kippur and bracha should be the same. Vinegar is an exception because, of this funny quality that it has, that you get hana when you drink a lot. So memela they were machayva bracha even for a little. Fine. But that doesn't help for the Rambam. Because the Rambam implies that
the Rabbeinu Yonah, just to clarify, the Rabbeinu Yonah says that a person drinks a lot of vinegar on Yom Kippur, they are chayv.
Yeah, the Gemara implies that. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Now, the problem with that, with it, is the Rambam doesn't say that. In other words, the Rambam sounds like you're always potter on Yom Kippur. So one of the issues that the Mefarshim deal with in figuring out the Rambam is, what does he do with the Gemara? But what I'm saying is, I think that again, let's just summarize. The Rosh says bracha and Yom Kippur are the same, right? And therefore, when the Gemara says you make a bracha on vinegar, it must be diluted vinegar. At first glance, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah disagree because they're both mechalik between brachos and Yom Kippur. But Rabbeinu Yonah, I could say, fundamentally really thinks it should be the same brachos and Yom Kippur. But vinegar gets a bracha, sort of on a technicality because you're nana b'shtiyah meruba. But the Rambam doesn't seem to hold in that chiluk, because when you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, she's a source. So he says that it doesn't give any case or you're chayiv to make a bracha on vinegar, right? So if that's true, so then how do we explain the Gemara, right? In other words, how is it that the Gemara, our Gemara, says that bracha and Yom Kippur are linked, and the Rambam seems to, across the board, breaks that comparison. So there was another mahalich in Rishonim on our sugya. One is in the Eshkol, which is quoted by the Shaar Tzion in Siman Reish Dalet. I couldn't find the Eshkol in the Mahadura Albak, so you could say about that what you wish. If for those of you who know the raid about the true Eshkol and the fake Eshkol and the like, but even if the Eshkol didn't say it, the Meiri says it in our sugya on Lamed Vav Amid Beis. The Eshkol says, again, this is how the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, that you make a bracha on vinegar because you're nana. And we don't learn out from Yom Kippur because Yom Kippur is different. Yom Kippur is totally be a suve daita. And chometz is not miyashe meshev nefesh. And that's more or less what the Meiri says over here. He writes that afal pisha shosa chometz pater, afal pichen mevarchen alav, shahakol bein chai bein mazog, lida'atenu bezu mashu pater, homipnei sheno meshev es hanefesh. Avo pilpilin vizangvil, so he's learning like the Rambam that the Ptur for Pilpulin is non-Michael, and he's saying that, and therefore vinegar is a Michael. So Mimela, vinegar gets a bracha. Aye, but it's Pater on Yom Kippur. Yeah, that's because it's Eno Meshev es HaNefesh. It has a different criteria. The criteria for bracha is if you eat food, you make a bracha. And even if it's not normally eaten, you'd at least make a shahakol. Whereas the criteria to be in violation of Yom Kippur is meshev es hanefesh. So now everything is a very good svara to be machalik. The only problem is the lashon of the Gemara. So either you're going to have to say that. With respect to kas pilpilin, they're the same. In other words, there's two svaros to pater on Yom Kippur. One svar to pater on Yom Kippur is because it's not ochel, which is exactly what the Rambam says in Hilchos Yom Kippur, right? He says, kas pilpilin is pater, it's not ochel. And then there's another reason to pater on Yom Kippur because it's not meshev es hanefesh. So with respect to kas pilpilin, they're identical. And that's why the Gemara says, rava l'taymei. Or you could say that, again, it's a one-way direction. Ravo says, you're pater for bracha, so he's Latayme who says you're pater on Yom Kippur. Of course, if you're pater from bracha, you also be pater on Yom Kippur. But it doesn't necessarily go the other way. Just because I'm pater on Yom Kippur, like I am for vinegar, so it doesn't mean I would also be pater on pater in the other direction from a bracha. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish Dalet Sif Beis, it says, Alachometz levado eno varch klom mipneshem aziko. So l'chor, that's like the rush. The Mishnah Berurah writes over there, Sif Katan Chav Dalet, v'dafka b'chometz chazak, sheneschaze kol chach, shemiv'aveya, kishemashlichen oso al ha'aretz. Right, we talked about this when we did Davar Charef. And kavush kamevushal, but it's only very stark vinegar that bubbles. I guess I don't. I've never seen any vinegar that does that. But otherwise, you make a bracha. In other words, he's passing like the rush. He's just might be that all of our vinegars are shvacha vinegars. But what's interesting is like this. So if you follow the rush, so then we're saying what we equate Yom Kippur and brachos. So I was thinking, what about other questions of comparison? For example, if if you eat achila gasa on Yom Kippur, you're pater. So would you make a bracha on achila gasa? Right? Now, again, now's not the time to get into it. There's sort of two types of achil gasa according to Tosfos. There's like achil gasa that's like, you know, you're full, but there's always room for dessert type of achil gasa. And then there's mamish, like you're mamish stuffed. And so achil gasa, the second type, is pater on Yom Kippur. So would you make a bracha on it? I don't know why somebody would want to eat that way, but people do sometimes, achveis. Your mother made something for you and you're totally stuffed and it's revolting to eat. And she says, like, just taste a little one bite. It's okay, you want to keep it up aim. So do you make a bracha? Do you make a bracha? So the Mishnah Berurah discusses this. And he writes that you don't make a bracha. It's in Mishnah Berurah Kuf Tzadi Zayin Sif Katan Chaf Ches. In other words, we do learn from Yom Kippur and other areas of halacha that achila gas isn't an achila, so it also wouldn't be an achila for brachos. The Rambam could conceivably agree to that, but the Rambam wouldn't have to because it's not mochrach in the Rambam because, as we see, the Rambam only has a one-way direction, but not a two-way direction. In others, there are cases where you make a bracha, even though you're not chaya for Yom Kippur. So it's not as clear what the halacha would be. All right, more to say, but we're out of time. So we'll stop over here. And Be'ezus Hashem, on Tuesday, we have a super, super geshmak sugya, one of the most important sugyas of the Perek L'maisa, is Kol Sheyesh Bo Mechamesh Asminim V'varchan Allah Bori M'Neim Zonos.
Thank you, Gary.